Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 7 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 7 through 12. I will read the odd verses, and if together we can read the even verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 7 through 12. And let's stand as we read the Word of God this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 7 through 12. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we have behaved ourselves that believe. As ye know how, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And let's pray. Father, I do thank you for today and the opportunity we can be able to be here. I do thank you for the Word of God and how we can know about your Word of God, because you've preserved it for us so that we can have it today in these times. And I pray that you'd fill us with your power, but open up our hearts and our ears to be able to hear the Word of God, so we can have more faith in you, so we can reach more people with the gospel, so that they can know about you and your Word and your blessings upon our lives. I do pray that you'd fill preacher with your power as he brings a message to us this morning. And we will give the encore for what you do, in Jesus' name, amen. May be seated.
Amen. All right, you may be seated as you keep your Bibles open there to 1 Thessalonians. I want to preach a message this morning, a father's influence, of course, being Father's Day 2020. If you're much like me, you've ever wondered where Father's Day came from, how it all started. Father's Day is celebrating its 111th anniversary this year today. And it all began with a young woman wanting to honor her dad. In May of 1909, Sonora Smart Dodd of Spokane, Washington, sat in church listening to a Mother's Day message. And she decided she wanted to dedicate a day to her father, William Jackson Smart. And this young lady, her mother died in childbirth, and so her father raised, who was a Civil War veteran, raised her and her other five children, and it was I can imagine the task and challenges that faced at that time in life. But the following year, Dodd wanted to celebrate Father's Day on June 5th, her father's birthday, and petitioned the holiday to be recognized in her city. Needing more time to arrange the festivals, Spokane's mayor pushed the date back by 2 weeks, and the first Father's Day was celebrated on June 19th, 1910. And according to the Spokane Regional Convention and Visitors Bureau, at the first Father's Day celebration, young women handed out roses, red roses, to their fathers during the church service. A large basket full of roses were passed around while attendees were encouraged to pin on roses in honor of their fathers, red for the living and white in memory of the deceased. Dodd then brought her infant son along a horse-drawn carriage ride throughout the city, bringing roses and gifts to the homebound fathers. While Congress was quick to officially declare the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day in 1914, after it was first celebrated on May 10th, 1908, it took much longer for Father's Day to become a legal holiday and to become recognized, but thanks to Dodd's celebration, Father's Day steadily gained popularity. In 1924, President Calvin Coolidge said he supported it in order to establish a closer relationship between fathers and their children and to understand their recognize their obligation as you find according to the Library of Congress. But it wasn't until President Lyndon Johnson first issued the first presidential proclamation to honor fathers in 1966. But in 1972, it was President Richard Nixon that signed in the public law as a permanent holiday. And we now celebrate Father's Day, a day in which fathers, we get new t-shirts and socks and ties, and because without it, we would look destitute. But I'm glad for Father's Day as I get to honor my father. I sent him a quick text message. I know he's in Sunday school or church this morning, so I sent him a real quick text right before I came over, and I'll call him this afternoon. I'm very grateful for the legacy and the example and all the information that I'm able to glean from my father. Of course, without my father, I don't know if we'd have running buses and buildings that are in the condition they are. As I'm able to call him and to glean from his knowledge, I am truly blessed and love my father very much. So I'm grateful that Sonora Dodd wanted to honor her father, and of course now we get to celebrate Father's Day. And the word father is mentioned more than 1,000 times throughout Scripture. And that's quite a bit that word is mentioned. You know, as God is our Father, our Heavenly Father, He is the greatest example of what a father should be. If we as human beings, men, we want to raise our children, and we say, well, what kind of example or what kind of a father do I want to be? Well, we look into God's Word, because God is the greatest example of what a father should be. And as you see that Paul is writing here to the church of Thessalonians he's trying to encourage them. He's trying to exhort them and to teach them, but he does it in such a way, a caring way, as like a father would do. As you look at verse number 11, it says, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children." You know, Paul's love and concern for them is very obvious and evident in chapter 2 as he's trying to help that church and these dear Christians along in their spiritual growth. He puts his relationship as an example of what a father would do to a child in teaching them. And as you look at here, in this verse, we see three things that should be in the life of a father or in the relationship between a father and a child. And that is, he is to exhort, which is to call or to invite, to comfort, to relate or near or encourage. And he is to charge, which is to be a witness or testify and to teach. You know, as a father, of course, the father figure is to lead and to guide and to direct by word, be an example to his children. But I want to look at these three things of what a father should be in the life of his children from verse 11. And of course, we'll look at a lot of other verses this morning. But as a father of six kids, I want to be the best father I can be. Now, to be honest with you, I've not always been the best father. My children have seen the best in me, and they've probably seen the worst in me. They know that there are certain things you do. You leave wet clothes on the floor, or you leave the door open, or you leave the light on, or you do something you know that is not supposed to be done in the house. Boy, Dad can go from a sweet, laughing, joking guy to upset and angry and raising his voice, trying to get your attention to get a problem corrected. They've seen the best and the worst. And so with that, I'm not standing here as an example of what a father should be. I'm here preaching this message to myself as well. And so as men here this morning, I hope that we'd look at this example of what should be in a father and work hard to make sure it's a part of our life so we can raise our children the best we can for the Lord. As I think of exhort, I can't help but to think of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, where it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Of course, that day approaching is the return of Christ. Boy, it doesn't take long as you look at the news to know that that day approaching is coming sooner and sooner every day, and quicker as you think of course, the virus that we're going through right now. As the Bible says, the end times, there'll be pestilences and the wars and rumors of wars and the unrest that we have and the financial crisis. And of course, all of this is just coming together as Christians. It's not a time to be afraid or scared and thinking, "Oh no, what's going to happen?" Well, we know what's going to happen. God's going to come and claim what's rightfully His, and He'll call us home to be with Him. And if we're still alive, we'll meet Him in the air, and we have nothing to fear. We know where our home is, and it's not here in this earth. It's in heaven with God. But as we see the things unfolding, it just makes me more excited to understand that this place is not my home. This place, with all of its problems, I'll be able to leave it behind. And this is not what forever is going to be. But as I think of Hebrews chapter 10, and you see that verse exhorting, you know, to exhort. In this verse, in Hebrews chapter 10, it's talking about not to forsake the assembling of selves, the importance of being at church, the importance of coming together as the body of Christ. That would include Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, our services, and that we should not miss, and we should exhort those to be there and push and exemplify. Exhort means to call near or invite. You know, as we exhort one another and we see that someone's out and sick and missing, boy, we should exhort them, call them, and encourage them. Some people, They need a little bit of encouragement. Some people may just need a ride. Some people, just that little bit of knowing that someone cares, and we are to exhort one another. But as a father corrects when they notice a problem, exhorting urges others to do good in conduct or course of action. And that's what a father does. A father is to see the conduct or the behavior of his children and to correct it. And in Scripture, those that are exhorted, those that are lost, lazy, servants, the gainsayers, and the congregations, the young men, and especially the brethren are to be exhorted. And we should exhort others to give, to please God, and to pray, to work hard, and to be sober-minded, of course, not letting the things of this world distract you from what God has for you. And one of the things I'm very grateful for as a young boy is that my parents invited me to be a hard worker and to work as hard as could be, and to be honest and contend for the faith and to live and try to live a godly life. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 13 says, and it warns us to exhort one another daily, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, when it comes to God's exhorting to us, when we look at Scripture or when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, may we not look at that correction or that call or that invite to become near to Him as we despise not the chastening of the Almighty. It was Job who was going through the trial of his life that wrote in Job 5:17, Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Proverbs 3:11 says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction." Hebrews 12:5 says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. As we understand that God will chasten, and the Bible tells us, and whom he loveth. And of course, he loves his children, and he will correct us. Just like a father will correct a child, will exhort a child, will call or invite to do what is right in a certain area or correct, we need to understand that that is a part of our job as a leader of the home, as a father, to guide our children, to call them in the direction in which they should go or should live their lives. We also see, as that verse also points out, to exhort and to comfort. Another job of a father is to be a comforter. And I cannot begin to start this other than the illustration, the fact that as a child, the safety that I felt, you know, when dad was away on work and when dad was out working late on a car or working somewhere and at home I had to go to bed and I knew dad wasn't here. Of course, we lived out in the country. Many times we left our doors unlocked. We never locked our cars because we didn't have anything to steal. No, but it was just back in the 80s and the 90s out in the country. You didn't have to worry about that kind of thing. Because it was like if you're driving through the area, there's no GPS. If you got lost and you ended up down our dirt road, you had to have done it on purpose. But we grew up in a safe area, but there was just always that safety of knowing when dad's home, everything's going to be okay. When I'd go outside at night, you know, in the woods and all the crickets and the frogs and everything's going on around you, or we'd go camping, I always felt safer when I was around dad because I knew he would protect me. There was comfort in being in his presence. But I want to look at comfort this morning as well. You know, the Bible tells us, I think of comfort, in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, the Bible tells us, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, of course, these comforting words, these are mentioned in this passage that's talking about the fact that Christ is going to come back for us one day. And he's going to take us to heaven, amen, that we don't have to worry about all the things of this world and the problems, that one day we're going to be with him. And even though we go through great loss and tragedy and heartache, we're going to go to a place called heaven. And so no matter what trouble are in this world we face, no matter what sickness we have, no matter what heartache, we should be comforted and be a comfort to others with these words, that through the fact that Christ is coming back, we can find comfort. As I think of the story on February 27th of 1991, during the Desert Storm War, a woman named Ruth Dillow received the worst call of her life. Her son Clayton Carpenter, private first class, had stepped on a landmine and was dead. And for the next 3 days, she grieved, and no one could comfort her. On the third day after receiving this terrible news, the phone rang again. On the other end of the phone was a voice that said, "Mom, it's me. I'm alive." At first, she thought it was a cruel joke, but as the conversation continued, she realized it was her son. Later, she said she laughed and cried and rejoiced at what seemed to be a hopeless situation turned out to be the greatest day of her life. And then, well, that's what the news from the graveyard can do when your faith is in Jesus Christ. We, you know, what a hopeless situation she was in, that her son was lost forever. But, you know, our situation, as we look at our lives and our sin and the price for sin, our situation in life was hopeless. But through the sin in which we had committed and we had through our unbelief, but there is hope. There is comfort, as we find in Jesus Christ's promise that he would come again. Through Jesus Christ, there's the hope of heaven. There is comfort. Now, knowing and looking at this world and saying, well, it's not going to get any better. There's no, the one party over the other isn't going to fix the problem in this situation, whether it be financial, whether it be the health system, whether it be economic and in our in our daily life, or a spiritual problem, a void that's in our country today, and especially the problem with the average father or dad in the homes, or the lack thereof across our country, the situation we're in, you might say, well, it's just hopeless. No, it's not hopeless tonight or this morning, because we have hope in Jesus Christ. We have hope in heaven. Heaven is that comfort. And you and I, as fathers, we are to be comfort to our families. And in this world of trouble, we are to not only be a comfort to our children, like Paul is saying, we have comforted you like as a father. We have comforted you in the truth. We have comforted you in the trials and the problems in which you face. And as a father, we are to comfort our families. We can be a comfort. We can receive comfort from the Holy Spirit in Acts 9:31. We can receive comfort when we read the Scriptures in Romans 15:4. We can receive comfort from God, our Heavenly Father, in 2 Corinthians 1:3, and also from others in 2 Corinthians 1:4. But as we look to give strength and hope to our children, sometimes experiencing distress, there's nothing more painful as a parent to see your children suffering and hurting, and there's nothing you can do. But as we watch them go through difficult times, boy, through wisdom, we can try to guide them through those difficult times. When there's dangers, we can try to be a security and comfort them through protection. Through infirmities, through their weakness, we can come and be strength to them. Don't forget to communicate as a father. I know that's one of our strong points, right, ladies? That we are great communicators, that we speak everything that's on our mind. As ladies, we'll talk about something they did, or even about a dress, or even about a meal, or what their day was like. Boy, it's 3-4 pages. You ask a man how his day went. No, it was okay. It was good. I'll ask my kids, you know, or I'll ask my son, you know, how was school? It was okay. And as a man, that's all he has to say. There was no problems. There was no issues. And so I get it. I understand. I did the same thing with my mom. And of course, she's tried really hard to not let me to go into that shell. And she'd say, okay, I'm throwing the ball to you. Now you throw it back. And because she would ask me how school went. I'd be like, okay, you know, there's nothing really to say. It was just a normal day. But that's not one of our strong points as males. Yes, we open up our feelings, because the truth of the matter is, we don't have any feelings. We have one or two. And so when you step on one, you'll know it. But you know, we don't, that's just not our forte. But fathers, you know, what an important time it is in the life of your children to communicate with them. Well, you know, it's going to be, before you know it, they're going to be out of the house, and use that time while they're under your care, under your leadership, to communicate with them. It's so important as men. Sometimes we kind of just think it's tough and rough to not communicate our feelings, and of course to sit down and to open up. That's not what we think the manly thing to do. But boy, it's so important that we don't forget to communicate to our children, to communicate the fact that we have not always done everything right. Many times we look at Scripture and we see what not to do, and we're helped by that. You know, there's times that maybe from your life experiences that you can help your children go through life and not make the same mistakes, or to help them by building confidence, by through their difficulties, using wisdom, or through the dangers in which they face, being a security there for them, or the infirmities in which they have, strengthening them. Boy, men, I know this is Father's Day. Don't miss the opportunity to communicate with your wife. Probably one of the biggest problems that starts within a marriage is the lack of communication. Because one will assume, or one will think one way, but you got to understand, communication is vital. Not only should your wife feel like the most beautiful woman in the world, not just because you tell her, but because you treat her like she is, but your daughters as well. Your daughter needs to know that she's a beautiful being, and not just because maybe just natural beauty, but beauty because of who she is. You know, when I've looked and I've read and I've heard messages and I've read a lot of RU's material on the going into the life of a young lady that ends up in the world, and the listening to Unshackled for years, as you hear the story after story after story, and it seems to be combination of things, but one thing that most always has in common is every young lady that ends up losing her purity and lives out in the world in the area of promiscuous living is that she does not have a relationship with her father. She does not have a good relationship, whether it be not a good one or her father's presence is not there. You know, as your daughter. One day, a young man's going to want to come sweep her off her feet and tell her how beautiful and how precious she is. And if she doesn't hear it from you, she's going to be eating it up from a young man that only has one thing on his mind. And we've got to be very careful that our daughters understand they are beautiful in our sights, and that as a father, we communicate, even our sons. That we communicate, we don't forget to communicate about the cars and fishing, but communicate godliness to help instruct them. And there's comfort in knowing that dad is walking with the Lord, and we can follow in his footsteps. Just as God comforted those that are cast down, so should we try to comfort others. 2 Corinthians 7:6. You know, it's been said that God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. Well, hopefully we understand as we look at our children, one day they're going to be parents. And one day they're going to be standing there wondering what in the world to do, just like we are standing here saying, what in the world am I doing? Because every day is a new day that we're parenting. There's no expert in the area of parenting. Every day, every child is different. Every situation is different. And every parent is seeking and should be seeking from the Lord wisdom and guidance in that area. But understand your children are going to be parents one day. And as you comfort them, one day they're going to be a comforter to your grandchildren. And we should be that example because as you go through life, your children are going to suffer, you're going to suffer, your parents suffer, because where no one suffers, no one cares. And we can show that example as we look to be a comforter. As Paul wrote to the church in 1 Thessalonians, we exhorted you, we comforted you, and we charged you, as every one of you, as a father doth his children, as we are to charge. I think of charging, I can't help but think of 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says, and in those days of David drew nigh, means he was coming to the end of his life. He was on his deathbed. That he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son, saying, he was giving him his final instructions, if you would. He was instructing his son. He was teaching his son, commanding or this instruction. You know, David had prepared Solomon to become king over Israel. And in chapter 2, you see that it showed Solomon how to establish himself in his life as a young man taking over the throne of Israel, and some of the dangers and some of the warnings. And of course, you see this through the book of Proverbs as Solomon is writing to his son, as many times the chapter or the verse starts with my son, as he's telling and giving instruction, charging him. And you'll notice that David said, keep the charge of the Lord by God. You know, a young person must never, don't ever let your age cause you to lack in confidence of what God's called you to do. If God's called you to do something, understand that God's behind you and realize that God is the one who called you to do whatever line of work at your age in which He's called you to do. So don't be hesitant about maybe a young person at the age of 11 or 13 or maybe 16, God's called you to be a missionary. God's called you to be a preacher. God's called you to give your life or surrender your life in a certain area to Him. Don't feel hesitant about that. And you understand that if God's called you, He'll equip you and He'll help you. But as a father, as we are to teach, I can't help but to think of the verse in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 6. It says, "And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gate." This verse is saying, boy, what an important job to charge and to teach and to instruct our children, that it should be a daily thing. It's not just we send our children to Sunday school and we think that that's going to be enough. No, every day we should look for opportunities and ways in which we can teach the Word of God, that we can teach and exhort and to charge them in how they are to live their lives, in the decisions and the choices they're going to have to make. Understand, your children are going to have to make choices that and decisions that you've never faced. We live in a whole different day and age now with technology and the internet and cell phones. We can all relate that life today is a little bit different than when we grew up. And the challenges in which they're going to face are a lot different than the things we used to face. A lot different than the radio stations we used that used to be on the air when we were children. A lot of different TV programs on nowadays, and of course, a lot the filth is and sin has always been available. Sin has always been sin, but boy, it just seems to be so prevalent in our day and age. And boy, we've got to charge them and instruct them and to teach them, to help them, so that they can be as successful for the cause of Christ as possible. And as a father, we should live so that our son or our children, when people tell them that that they remind them of us, that they stick out their chest with pride and not out their tongue and despise. We should, as fathers, take this example of what should be in the life of a father. As Paul is writing to this church saying, hey, we exhorted you, we comforted you, and we charged you just like a father would. These are some of the things in which should be in each and every one of our lives as fathers to our children, that we should exhort and comfort and to charge. And one of the things that a father is greatly known for is comfort, right? That we are just overflowing with comfort, because when my children are hurt or when they have a little scratch or when they're bleeding, they come to me and my heart just opens up and I say, oh, come here, let me just hug you, let me hold you. No, they go to mama because they know mama has that comfort. But I'm not necessarily talking in the area of that physical comfort, but does your children have that spiritual comfort of knowing that dad walks with God, that dad is living his life as an example to please the Lord and can follow in his footsteps as an example of what a man or what a father or what a husband should be? Do we charge our children? Do we teach them and giving them instruction? Are we leading by example? I don't know about this morning, but I want to be like I said when I was a teenager, and I was and then in college as I was dating my wife, I never knew I was going to become a preacher. If anything, that was the one thing I said I would not do, is become a preacher. Speaking in front of people would have made me sick. Boy, I made a D in speech class. I failed some of my preaching classes, and I was okay with it because I knew, God, you're never going to allow me to speak because I can't speak. I get words twisted up. I get things backwards. I get nervous. Sometimes I'll even stutter, or I'll say words over. I remember some of the teenagers saying, they'll come up laughing, "You said like 230 times." I said, "Well, at least you're listening." My wife, just a few months ago, when my wife was backslidden and sitting in the back. She was sitting in the back, and my sister-in-law was with her. And her sister was there, and I had closed my Bible like I do sometimes. That doesn't mean anything. I know it's 12 o'clock, but that doesn't mean anything. Because Brother Hager didn't let me get up here to preach till after almost 11:30. So I still can go till 12:30, and I'll still be within an hour. But my wife was like, she saw me close up my Bible, and my sister-in-law said, "Oh, he's almost done." She goes, "No." My wife looked over and said, "No, he's got a few more may we's." As I'll say, "May we do this? May we do that?" Or "Let us." You know, and she's like, "He's going to keep going for a little bit." But I don't even know what I got onto that. But the example in which we live for our children, you know. I know that my whole life I never dreamed of becoming a preacher. My whole life, my prayer, my desire was to be a good father and a good husband. And every day I live in this flesh, and every day that I choose not to live in the spirit, I fail and I fall flat on my face and many times in front of my family. And as a father and as men, we need to strive to be a godly example to the children, the heritage, the blessing, the treasure that God has given us. And the scary thing about parenting is we only get one shot at it. There's no going back and redoing it. And every day is an opportunity that we are an example for the right or the wrong. And as Paul is writing to these dear Christians, he's writing to them not as a pastor or a lord or a master. He's writing to them as a father, saying, "Here, I want to do what a father would do. I want to exhort you. I want to call you and invite you to do what's right. I want to comfort you. I want you to know that it's going to be okay. I want you to know that that we have comfort in God's Word. I want you to know that no matter what happens, or even I think of the times when my children were learning to ride bikes. Oh, that was challenging. And I feel sorry for my children because one of the things in which I do struggle with is patience. And I'd tell them to pedal, and then they'd start pedaling, and then they'd stop. Maybe like, "I told you to pedal," and then they'd fall, and they'd cry, and I'd think, "Well, you brought this on yourself." And of course, my wife was there to be the comforter. But as they live life and they grow, I want to be able to have them to know that there's comfort in their father. Comfort in life as they can call and ask for advice and to troubleshoot problems and to seek after God's will for their life. Can they find comfort? Can they find a charge as you instruct them? As those in Deuteronomy took every opportunity to teach, are we doing what we can while we can? You know, the time is flying by. I cannot believe we just celebrated, Savannah's birthday is today, but we celebrated it yesterday. She's now 10 years old. I'd looked at my wife. We give our children one party at when they turn 10. I think two more to go, four down, two to go. As my son's 13 and 12 and now 11, now 10. Boy, it just seems like it's just going so fast. The years will fly by. Let's not miss the opportunity to add these qualities in which should be a part of a father's life, as Paul is stating to Christians, saying, "Hey, I'm going to talk to you like a dad should, and I'm going to exhort you. I'm going to call you to do what's right. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to give you and lead by example, as you've seen in my own life, and I'm going to give you some comforting words. I'm going to give you some comfort. I'm not going to leave you there all on your own, and I'm going to charge you You know, we think of a graduation when a ceremony comes to an end and a message is given, a charge is given to the students to go out and to succeed, to go out and to do something with their lives as a dedication. Think of a ordination of a young man or a man of God going into the ministry as a charge is given him to go out and to complete and to do things for the cause of Christ. As we are to charge our children, to instruct them, to guide them in the path that they should go. As mentioned this morning, boy, what once again, Sunday school this morning went right together as Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. That is our job as fathers, is to lead not only by example, but to charge and to instruct our children so that they can go and not so they can go and make lots of money so we can retire in a home and have our children take care of us. But I was thinking about that this week, and especially last night as I was preparing for this morning, thinking, you know, no greater gift could my children ever give me than for them to live for the Lord. Just live for the Lord. But that'll only happen as if I, as a father, do my best to charge them and instruct them and to point them in that direction. Because Proverbs 22:6 does say, train up a child. And that's our job as parents, to do our part. As fathers, boy, many times you look at our modern home, and the single mother, there's a whole lot more single moms than there is single dads. I know there's single dads out there. Father's Day was started because of a single dad raising his family and doing a wonderful job. But boy, may we look at our influence and our impact in our children. And as fathers, as I said this morning, I'm not a perfect father. And I know this message is for me. And if it's for only me, I know it's helped me and encouraged me to try to do more. But maybe there's someone here this morning, understand the role and the task in which we have before us. It's an important one. Understand that our Heavenly Father, and the role in which He plays in our lives, it's an important one. And we too can look to Him for exhortation. We can look to Him for comfort. We can look to Him for a charge. He's given us our orders. He's given us everything in which we are to do, as He's charged us and instructed us. And He's been the greatest example. Maybe today you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can call upon Him as your personal Savior, your Heavenly Father. You can put your faith and trust in you, not in your works, but in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're watching online and you don't know you're on your way to heaven, please call our office and someone will walk you through the Word of God of how you can be saved. But don't leave here this morning not knowing that God is your Heavenly Father. Through the precious blood that Jesus Christ, His Son, shed on the cross of Calvary, as He died, He was buried, and He rose again. And by faith, you're calling upon Him and only Him. The Bible says, by no other name can we be saved. But by no other way, no other door, no other name can we get to heaven but by the name of Jesus Christ and through Him. Would you call upon Him? Maybe you're here this morning and you, through the memory of your earthly father, all the instruction, all the teaching, and the example in which He's given you, to proceed that on to your children, or to spend some time and to thank your Heavenly Father for everything that He's been in your life and will continue to do because of His faithfulness. Whatever the need may be, I know as a father standing here today, reminded of the importance of that task and that title. Greater than the title of pastor, greater than the title of is dad. My number one ministry is these children. And I'll do whatever I can to protect them and help them. But with that, this morning's message should be an important reminder of a father's influence. You know, there's many things in which I do and I find myself doing them because my dad did them. And I follow his example. Let's take that father's influence and apply it to the next generation as children. Maybe there's an opportunity for you to be a father figure to someone else. Someone else in which you can bring up and to help and instruct. There's many that don't know their earthly father, but there's someone who filled that role. Maybe it's a grandfather, maybe it's an uncle, maybe it's a brother, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a Sunday school teacher, maybe it's a youth pastor or pastor, someone who influenced you greatly. Boy, today is a day in which we can stop and remember. But every Sunday is a day in which we can stop and remember and honor and thank our Heavenly Father for His role in our lives. Let's take that influence and use it for God's glory. Let's pray.